Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
G&D on the Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our live show from West Palm Beach, where our coverage of Nats spring training is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Kick off your future with our buddies, the law firm of Condori and Murrah. They're the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor. They're local guys, done well. Went to Lake Braddock High and George Mason University. They'll update your assets and protect your will and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. You got to visit kmlawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Remember, in 1 hour, Joey Gallo joins the show. And in 1 hour and 10 minutes at 6:10, the first ever cannonball contest live on G&D. Ryan versus Darris versus Toby. Danny and I are going to judge this sucker. Someone's going to win and someone is going to be embarrassed. It's a cannonball contest at our Airbnb live on the radio where we're poolside right now in West Palm Beach. But we are joined by Patrick Corbin, left-handed veteran starter with the Washington Nationals, 2019 World Series hero, going into the final year of a six-year contract. One last ride for Corbin and the Nats. Have you spent any time yet at camp thinking about how this could be the end of the road after what has been such a lengthy and early on illustrious stay in D.C.?
I guess I haven't really dove into it too much. Still treat it like any other offseason. Try to find ways to get better and come in here and take the ball every fifth day. But I've enjoyed my time here. Obviously, year one was an incredible ride, and some things have happened since then. A lot of turnover here, a lot of change. So to still be here, still excited as ever, and any time here in spring to get ready for a regular season again.
Speaking of, you know, kind of constantly getting better and the like, how are you feeling at this point? Building towards the season.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good. I've felt good. There's been some highs and lows over the last couple seasons, but physically I feel good. Started throwing a cutter, so just excited about some stuff with that. But I think overall, trying to dive into some of the numbers and the movements things a little bit more. Just to try to find ways to maybe be more consistent and get guys out. So, but physically feel good and excited and looking forward to this.
I want to talk to you about the cutter in a second, but you mentioned the last few years, and at times I'm sure it's difficult, right? You're competitive, and I'm sure the results haven't always been what you want. But from afar, I've always found it admirable. Like, you're at your locker. Doesn't matter how long of it you were into the start or how well you pitched six scoreless or you got hit around. Like, you answer questions. You're one of the few guys in this clubhouse now who's got any money, who's a veteran at all. You're, like, taking everyone out to dinner, and you're kind of the guy they all come to. Like, I've just really admired over the years how you've handled yourself and what a great teammate you are. I just wonder, like, for you, I mean, it didn't matter how things were going. Like, you had a start coming, and you've never missed an outing for this team for the most part. Like, how much pride you've taken in that, and just whether or not, like, that's something that you're cognizant of, that you said, however this goes, like, when it's over, I want people to realize this is what I provided of the controllables.
I mean, yeah, I take pride in taking the ball every fifth day. That's just always been a big part of what I want to do. And when I first came here, big reason was Max and Steven Strasburg. So those were two guys I wanted to be a part of rotation. And now it's kind of flipped, where it's a lot of younger guys and guys who are really talented and trying to make their way in this game. And you try to lead by example. There's a lot of highs, a lot of lows in this game. And I, for me personally, the best is to try to be that same guy. It's a long season. You're to make 30 plus starts. Things are going to go your way. Things aren't. And knowing how to control that, try to improve off of things you do well and don't do well, and go from there, and try to do it as many years in a row as you can. And it's been a long ride, but yeah, each and every day still trying to learn stuff, even from some of these younger guys, and hopefully they learn from me.
Patrick Corbin with us here on Grant and Danny. Are you now, do you feel comfortable, or is it in your DNA at this point to go walk up to a younger player and go, hey, I noticed this? Or do you just wait to be asked? You know what I mean? Like, how do you see your role there as a veteran who's done it at such a high level?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a good relationship with most of the guys here, and feel comfortable for them coming up to me or going up to them. Mm-hmm. You try to make things just you want to be approachable. So, I like I said, I'll go up to guys, joke with them about whatever, talk about other things that they like or dislike. And if baseball happens to come up, it comes up. But you just try to be available. You want these guys to come up to you, approach you, and try to figure out what works for them to stick around in the big leagues. It's tough. A lot of good players here. There's good competition, which I think brings out the best in these guys. So, the pitching side of it for us, I mean, there's a lot of young arms that look good, and I think guys that are going to look to build off of last season.
Patrick, you mentioned the cutter. I want to go back to that. Why did you add the pitch, and what are you hoping it'll do for you?
I think just trying to find something maybe to help me versus righties a little bit better, and trying also to be more consistent with some of my pitches. For me, more so down in the zone with a lot of my stuff, but finding something that's in between that slider, that fastball, with some movement. And so far this spring, I've had some success with it. To me, it seems a little more natural to throw than a changeup, or really mastering a wipeout changeup, just because I've always been the slider guy, and my pitches tend to move that way. So just really looking forward to continuing to throw it. We've thrown it a bunch my first two outings here, and have had good results. So I think being able to go out there and use it in a regular game is going to be pretty fun.
Who were you working with this offseason? You weren't with McFerrin, were you?
Yeah.
You were. So for people that don't know, he's kind of responsible for the pitching lab at Wake Forest and Winston-Salem. And Wake Forest is one of the, you know, this is one of the better
preeminent
programs
now, yeah.
Right now, where they're just churning out arms left and right. But I went and toured their facility. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Did you go there, or where did you go?
No, I met him up in I think he's from the Albany area or has family there, and around the holidays I met him up there. But me and Mackenzie have been kind of just talking with him, and obviously bringing Doolittle in here, they've been a good resource for some of that stuff. When I first came to the big leagues, we didn't have all these numbers, and hey, your slider's good, but not really knowing why. So
did you even want those numbers a couple of years ago, or is this more newer?
Yeah, I mean, I never was opposed to it. You just sometimes you feel good physically, and just sometimes something's a tick off or whatnot. But
can you tell, like, when you're in the lab with him? Or you know, when you're working on a pitch, like, just out of the hand, you're like, that was perfect? Or do you go over and look at the movement, whatever you're looking at, and, like, building a pitch in a laboratory and going, all right, that was good, now I've got to redo it? Or do you know already?
Yeah, I mean, obviously some pitches feel better than others. Location's also a big thing. Even if the movement's a lot and it's middle, I mean, not ideal. So I think still location is important. I think for me personally, going from start to start, looking at some of how I want my pitches to move, and say a pitch isn't moving the way I want to, being able to correct that a lot faster, I think, is going to be a big thing. So I've definitely dove into some of the video and analytics stuff a little bit more this season. Still learning it for sure, but I think I have a pretty idea of what I do well and what I want to try to do out there to fool these hitters.
You mentioned Doolittle. What's that like a peer, a teammate, a friend? He's now like the grad assistant, kind of, at a school almost.
Yeah.
Is that a little bit odd?
Not really.
I mean, it's cool, I know, but is that weird?
I joked with him, called him coach or whatever. I mean, Parr is here too, another player that we were with. But, no, Dude's been very helpful sending some video and stuff. I think he's kind of... I mean, this is his first year really diving into this as much as he's done. Obviously, he's pitched a long time in this league. And I just think sometimes hearing it from him, obviously we have our own analytic department here, Hickey, our pitching coach. I think just having a good group of those guys able to relay it to the pitchers. And for me, the biggest thing I was telling Dew, I was hoping we could find a way to tell all these younger guys what they do well at, find out the two or three things that make them a big leaguer, and really focus on those things and be consistent with those. And I think you start there and try to figure out who you are first and then move up from there.
Patrick Corbin's with us on Grant and Danny in West Palm Beach. You've been kind of the mainstay opening day starter here over the last few years now as McKenzie and Josiah are elevating their game. There's actually kind of a real competition. What would that mean for you for this final season on this six-year deal to get the nod on opening day again? Is that something you care about, think about at all?
I mean, obviously it's always an honor to start opening day, and It'd be great to hear that again, but you tend just to come here. You want to work on things, get better, and be available when we do start up. And if Davey wants to give me the ball, I will take it and be ready to go. And that's my mindset. And but yeah, it's always a special day. Opening day is always a little different from some of these other days. And it's the start of a long season. And
do you get nervous on opening day or any start ever at this point?
I always get those butterflies still, and I think that's the competition part of it. You still get those butterflies that you love to go out there and compete. I think the day those go away maybe shows you don't care as much, or maybe it's something that maybe you're trying to do something else. But those butterflies still come. You still go out there. Once you are in between the lines, you just compete and want to do your best.
You get that Dr. Emmett Brown DeLorean. You go back in time to 2012 before the day you get called up to the big leagues and you're making your first start. What would you tell yourself?
I never thought I'd be still doing this. It's gone by quick, but I think the biggest thing is being consistent and being a good teammate. So not missing your workouts, showing up on time, willing to get better and be available for your team and try to find ways to win together. And I think if you do those things, a lot of things kind of pan out for itself.
Have you talked to Strauss at all? How's he doing?
Yeah, I've briefly spoke with him a couple times. We see him a little bit up in D.C., but obviously a tough situation for him. He's done everything he could to try to get back and pitch. Three surgeries, maybe more. He just physically can't do it anymore. And injuries are part of the game. It stinks. You try to do everything you can, but you can just see he wasn't able to get back to who he was before, which was one of the best pitchers in the game for a while. So it's always tough to see that. Wish nothing but the best for him, his family, and whatever he may be up to.
What's success look like for you guys this year as you're, you know, trying to compete in a really tough division with some really, really good teams as you're, you know, this group is still building and grew a lot from year over year, from 2 years ago to last year. And now what does success look like to you?
Yeah, I mean, we may not have the big time names to this point or guys with that long track record, but I'm excited for some of these younger guys we got. Abrams, I thought, took a big step last year. Josiah and McKenzie, like you guys said, in the rotation. I think Jake Irvin could play a big part. The rotation, I thought, for the most part, had some highs, had some lows, but those guys were out there every fifth day making a start and trying to save some of those guys in our bullpen. I think our bullpen will be a strength as well. A lot of guys that throw hard with good stuff down there. So, and maybe some of these younger guys here will surprise some people. Obviously, Woods' camp so far has been very impressive, but could be looking at a bright future for the Nats.
All right, put the scouting hat on. Last one for me. Give us a name of a guy that you're impressed by that maybe people don't know about yet, or that you just think is maybe better than the perception out there that they're going to be really good for this org.
I would say Jake Irvin. I think he's just he made a couple handful of starts for us last season, but I think he could play a big role in our rotation there. His stuff has been electric. I've seen him up to 97, 98 already, and he's added a couple pitches. So I think if he can just stay healthy and be out there, his stuff will play in this league, and he's one starter that I think would be pretty impressive to see.
Patrick, thank you as always, buddy. Good to catch
up
with you,
thank you.
Patrick Corbin, you heard part of the conversation there in talking about his stay in D.C. It's really complicated when you talk about Corbin because it started 2019, the first year of a six-year deal, and he was fantastic in the regular season. In year one of that contract, 6 years, $140 million, looked like the missing piece for them, replacing Gio Gonzalez, middle of the rotation, lefty, helped get him over the hump. Wasn't like he was fantastic in the playoffs as a starter. He was solid, and then he was splendid out of the bullpen in multiple series, including a pretty heroic effort in Houston in the World Series to win a ring. Since then, 2020 and beyond, it's been downright ugly statistically. You're talking about a guy who is, from just a sheer numbers standpoint, the worst pitcher in the league over the last 4 years. He has made 105 starts. He's 27-57. About 570 innings. His ERA over those four seasons, 5.62. He's just gotten hit around. 11 hits per nine, only seven strikeouts. It hasn't gone well. It's when he's on the mound, it can be tough to watch. But I think you have to acknowledge as well, he takes the ball every fifth day. He knows for 4 days he's about to take the ball again and a lot of times get his teeth kicked in. He goes, he does it, he stands at his locker. He answers all questions, treats everybody with respect. And in this clubhouse over the last couple of years now, Danny, namely this year, I mentioned this in the interview.
That's right.
There's no one else who's really made any money. A couple of guys like Joey Gallo, who just got here, have some decent earnings in their career. But anytime there's ever a dinner where players go out, he's picking up the tab. If there's ever a party, it's at his house. Like, there's no one else who's established. He's the only guy in the big leagues kind of in that mode where you don't share any of those responsibilities. And he is, by all accounts, everybody we talk to, one of the great teammates in the sport. And so that all matters. I know for fans, you don't care about that necessarily.
I know. Totally.
They just want to see him go six innings, two runs. And I get it. I'm not defending Patrick Corbin.
The performance is indefensible. It just is.
It's awful.
Right?
But there is more to it over these 6 years, and he will be missed. Certainly in the building after this season.
Sure. I mean, and that story, as you said, it's very complicated, right? There were moments in that postseason run where he was not just fine or good, where he was incredible. There are also moments where you would have rather had anyone else on the mound. You remember when he came in out of the bullpen, and I think it was a one-run game against the Dodgers, gave up six runs and only got two outs and got shelled. It was an absolute, you know, mortar fire explosion, right? There was other moments out of the bullpen kind of throughout where he was sort of their specialist. Got big outs against the Cardinals, I remember. Came in, I think, through came in to get one hitter because they didn't really have that lefty specialist. The only lefty down there was Doolittle, who they needed to close because they were shorthanded in the bullpen because Hudson was there to witness the death of his kid. All sorts of stuff happened. They don't win a World Series without Patrick Corbin. So, for me, that's where I start. Everything after that, I think you alluded to it very well. It simply has not been good. I don't know if that run, you know, sort of changed the arc of his career forever. I don't know if it took something out of him. I know I've talked to at least a couple of guys that played in the big leagues who really believe that that's exactly what happened, is that that run changed him and probably Steven Strasburg maybe forever, and it was kind of like the price you pay to win a World Series.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Every team does what they did that year, every year.
Totally.
And the guy's arms don't fall off, and, you know, you may struggle the next year. You might end up on the injured list or something. But you're not getting thoracic outlet. You know, in Strasburg's case or in Corbin's case, your career doesn't just get derailed forever.
Right,
so I don't know.
It's not automatic. I'm certain guys are built differently, and what, but they think that they go for these two guys because of how they are. Steve Strasburg, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, was a ticking time bomb with injuries. You know what I mean? Like whether it was that run or it could have been the next year in 2020, starting and stopping, something was going to happen where he was inevitably going to get this way. Corbin, because of how he was used, if you look at the appearance log in that 2019 postseason run, it was wild.
It
right?
was, and. The beauty of it was that he thrived at in some of the biggest spots, and they don't get a ring without him. So if you want to just say it's been 4 years, and it'll probably end up being 5 years, mm-hmm. of pretty disastrous ball watching him and being mad, okay. I choose to lead with they don't win the World Series without him in 2019.
That's my lead right there.
Second part is since then it has been a nightmare,
yep.
No doubt.
All true.
I would go as far as to say he has been the worst pitcher statistically in the sport since 2020.
Because other guys just get demoted. They stop getting a chance to pitch, but they're not making that kind of money.
If you don't have a six-year, $140 million contract,
yeah.
They're not going to keep running you out there. But it's like a scene out of Maverick or something. He's getting back in the jet, and he's going right
keep
back
Keep sending
up.
Him up.
But I think I'm the only person that cares about this, or I know I don't expect everyone to like act like he's doing us a favor. The guy makes $140 million. I have just been always so impressed with, in the most public job, every 5 days knowing you're going to be really bad at it. You just go back out there. Everyone watches.
Yeah.
It's got to be embarrassing. The loneliest place in the world to be is standing on the mound when you can't get out.
It's right at the center. It's the center of the whole place.
There's 30,000 people yes. watching you in your office.
That are mad at
but
you.
But there's another tens of thousands watching at home, mm-hmm. and every one of them is mother bleeping you constantly.
Yep.
And then we get here to spring training, and he's signing for every kid, and he's taking every picture. And I'm not trying to change the Corbin narrative or anything or tell you, you know, that you guys should be pumped 20 pitches. I'm not. Like, when I'm going to Nats Park and it's a Corbin day, I'm in a less of a good mood.
I go, oh.
Than when it's Gore or when it's going to be Cavalli or Gray or whoever. But final year of the deal. They're almost out of it. It'll be really good for the team when that happens. But I do hope that his legacy is also helped win a title. And nobody in the building was probably as good a teammate as him during his time here. It was on that Zim level mm-hmm. of really being good for the organization in that regard. Speaking of Patrick Corbin, you know what I want to do next? We just talked about his $140 million contract.
Uh-huh.
We had Toby put together a little list of players and what they've made in their careers, but we don't know who the players are yet.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
We're going to play a guessing game as to how much money guys have made in their careers. Not just baseball. It's going to be football, DC sports stars, national, renowned talents in different sports. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny. Joey Gallo joins us at 6 in the first ever Cannonball Challenge live on G&D as we're poolside in West Palm Beach coming up at 6:10 right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from West Palm Beach, home of the Washington Nationals and their beautiful spring training complex, we're Grant and Danny. Our coverage of Nats spring training is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We welcome onto the show the co-host of the very popular Nationals podcast, Bustin' Loose Baseball. Some would say the most popular Nationals podcast in all the land.
Just some.
Others like Locked On Clary. Different strokes for different folks.
It's so weird that there's such a distinct rivalry.
Big rivalry.
Like that, right? Yeah. Like you guys, you and Ryan haven't spoken in 3 years because
True.
Of that. Like directly. If you want something from Ryan, I have to ask for it.
I take him doing a podcast opposite me and Toby as a personal affront, and I have since the day he took the gig.
Absolutely.
Couldn't believe it. But if you're going to listen to one Nationals podcast, I think everyone knows Toby, Bustin' Loose Baseball is definitely the way to go.
No doubt. Two guys, great opinions, great insight.
Great opinions is great.
You know,
I like he said two guys.
Couple of guys.
Just a couple of dudes who aren't sunburned.
Yeah. Yeah.
We asked you, we gave you some homework. Why did we do this? Who are we talking? Oh, Joey Gallo.
Talking about Joey Gallo.
So we were just sitting around playing Madden or something in the Airbnb earlier today. We were laughing at the fact that Joey Gallo's $5 million contract is deferred over 3 years.
I mean, say that sentence one more time.
So they paid Joey Gallo $5 million.
Yeah.
But they deferred it over 3 years.
What are we doing?
So we started thinking about if you're Joey Gallo. My point was I would love that if I'm Gallo. I've made a bunch of money in my career.
Yeah.
I don't really need money. Give me a couple now. Give me $1 million later. Give me $1 million after that. Now, the guys that actually are deferring a ton of money, I get it. You're losing out on some cash, and we could talk interest and all this stuff, build in for inflation. But bottom line is he's got plenty of money.
Sure.
Instead of just cutting him the checks now, I'll get a check next year when I'm not playing for you. And they're literally still paying Rafael Soriano right now. Like, Max Scherzer is on their payroll this season.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
But we had a fun time guessing what Joey Gallo's made in his career. We said, that's actually a fun game. Let's do this for the show. So you have taken the liberty of looking up some players for us so that we can play a little game. Chris, back in D.C., fire the game show music. It is time. What are we going to call the game, Toby? What'd you name it?
How much he make?
There it is.
How about what he make?
Right. Like, it's, yeah, I'm trying to play off of, like, you know, the NBA on TNT guys. Yeah.
You familiar with
play
them?
For a game?
Do you know them?
I know them. You know what's funny, Toby? I've actually appeared on that program.
Really?
Before.
Yes. Wow. It's really incredible.
Yes. Dan Arute.
So I've come up with 10 names. First six, I'm going to give you how long they've played.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. And you're going to have to guess who it is. All of them have Washington ties. All of them have Washington ties. All are active players. So you'll have to guess who it is. And then we got four big names. You'll have to guess how much they've made in their career.
All right.
Good game by Tobes.
So first name, football player.
Football player.
10 seasons, 6 teams. He has made $27.4 million. At one point in his career, whether it was this year or years past, he has suited up in the Burgundy and Gold. Who is it? $27.4 million. Career earnings.
Played for 6 different teams.
Yeah. He plays on offense.
Damn it. I was going to guess John Bostic, but that ain't it. All right. He's an offensive player. Played for 6 teams. Logan Thomas.
Nailed it.
Well
Hadouken.
Done.
Logan
well
Thomas.
Done.
First
Hadouken.
One.
Hadouken.
So
well done.
If you want one big takeaway here, obviously baseball gives away big contracts.
Yeah.
Listen to what some of these guys and the names and the totals attached to them in the NBA. That's where we're going next.
Oh, dear. Okay. Here we go.
11 seasons, 6 different teams. At one point has played for the Washington Wizards and has made $138.8 million.
Oh, my God. It's
Logan,
role player Randy here.
Logan's 24. So 11 years.
11 seasons, 6 different teams, $138.8 million.
Wow.
And played in Washington within the last.
When did he play in Washington?
In the last 11 seasons.
Oh, Toby.
It's not going to help us. What year did he play in Washington? Or how long?
Just general.
It's not recent. I'll say that. It's not in the last 3 years he's played in Washington.
Not in the last three.
I'll say Nick Young.
What say you?
We were watching him last night. Bobby Portis.
The answer is Otto Porter Jr.
Oh.
OPJ.
Yeah.
Have a career. How much money?
$138.8.
Sat right next to him at Metro 29 Diner. So I'm at a table with my family. He's at the next table over with his family. Very nice. Very, very friendly guy.
All of the money.
$138.
I hope he picked up the tab for his family.
For his table he did. Didn't pick up my tab, though. What's up with that?
We'll stick with the NBA. Again, could be a current Washington Wizard. Could be a former Washington Wizard.
Okay.
Played 7 seasons, 2 different teams, $60.1 million.
Didn't make much money.
He's out of the league now or currently?
Current player. Active player.
Currently in the association. Kyle Kuzma.
Kyle Kuzma. Nailed it.
Well done.
Maybe I need to dig deeper. Danny's getting these.
No, I'm good at this.
Very good.
Weirdly.
All right. Here we go. Back to the football. Back to the gridiron. 10 seasons.
Okay.
Football three bar. Different teams. Football offensive bar. Player. Wore the burgundy and gold at one point in his career. So he's a former player for Washington. $42.7 million.
How many different teams?
Three.
Three.
Active player. Does not currently play for Washington.
10 seasons.
$42.7 million.
Three teams.
Offensive side of the ball. Incorrect.
Charles Leno?
Morgan Moses.
Oh, I should have got that.
That's a good.
I should have got that.
I'll tell you what, football players are getting screwed.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, basketball money is so dumb.
Yes,
I remember when Donald Foyle was like averaging 2 points and two rebounds, got $50 million bucks, and this has been 12 years ago, dated reference. I thought, that's just different.
It's all broken.
You know, Etan Thomas, who went to Syracuse, blocked a couple shots here, like awesome dude. He was like a poet laureate or something.
Yeah.
Etan Thomas, he would average a point, a rebound, and three blocks or something, and that guy made a $40 million
contract. That was the Ernie special because he lost Ben Wallace to Detroit, who goes on to become a Hall of Famer. And we were terrified it would happen again, so we paid some money to split minutes with Brandon Haywood. We consider him a first-round pick.
On to the diamond, someone that has donned the curly W at one point in their career. 14 seasons, five different teams, has made $256.2 million.
Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer. Now, here's the question.
How much money?
$256.2.
That's a quarter
now,
bill.
Now, hold on.
Baseball money.
That's current. He's got plenty left.
True.
Can you guess how much he has left deferred on his contract?
With the Nationals?
With just the Nationals.
I'll say 45 mil.
That was the number I had in my head. I'll go for S's and G's. Let's say 51 milli.
4 years, 60 mil.
Still coming in. And he's making 40 million, 42 million a year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
That's good life for Max Scherzer.
Good boy, Max.
Oh, my God.
All right,
I will say baseball money.
Yeah.
Fully guaranteed. Not quite as crazy as basketball money, in my opinion, because you have to achieve and be really good to get that money. Max Scherzer is a three-time Cy Young
Hall of Famer.
So if you're great, though, the money is exceptional.
It's where basketball money is absurd is role player Randy. The guy
There's only like a dozen guys on the team, so you're the ninth or tenth guy. Someone's got to get that
like
money.
Like LeBron and Steph Curry are like underpaid by scale because these guys that are just fine, they're like, we have to pay somebody, take 100 mil.
All right, so for the final four here, I'm going to give you the name. And I want to hear your guess on their career earnings.
Okay.
All right?
Here we go.
So we'll go with the grade eights. Alex Ovechkin, how much has he made currently in his career?
He makes nine a year over this $45 million. It's been four of those years, so nine times four is 36.
I'm doing the same calc.
Year deal. Yeah. I'm going to say $185
million. I'm going to say $126 million.
You win because you didn't go over. $150.7 million.
Okay.
150.7.
I think I was a hair closer, but yeah.
So Ovi did okay.
He did just fine.
Done well.
All you got to be is the greatest goal scorer ever. You do just fine in your sport.
Could pay for dinner tonight.
Yeah, you could.
We'll go back to the diamond.
I will pick up Thib.
2019 World Series MVP, Steven Strasburg. What is his
okay,
career
so
earnings
here's what
to date?
Doing.
To so date.
Yes, he got $175 million on his second deal.
Uh-huh.
He got
$245 on this
$245 plus $175.
We're minus 70 on the 245 because that's still happening. So that's 175 plus one. I'm going to go $380 million.
I'm going to say $350.
It's only $196.5 million to this point.
Oh, because they tore it up. He had an opt out. We added the 175 to the 175. That was my mistake. I messed that up.
$196.5 million.
Because remember,
Stevie
he opted
Strasburg.
Out.
I mean, Strauss has made nothing.
Yeah.
No wonder why he won't retire.
Right?
I mean, how's he going to get groceries next week?
The GOAT on the gridiron, Tom Brady. What did he make in his career?
He took less every year.
20 years. There's some $30 million, $40 million type figures at the back end. I'm going to say $225 million.
I'm going to say $310 million.
$333 million. So he didn't take as little as some people thought.
$333 million.
Yeah, I just figured early on there's like some fivers and sevens in there. You know, it was later in his career when he started to make.
So Brady took less than Mac at value so many times. Hero.
So let's go back in time just a little bit.
Okay.
Minority owner of the Washington Commanders, Magic Johnson, one of the best players of all time.
In my top five.
Supposedly saved the NBA. How much did he make in his illustrious career?
How many years?
Let me look for you real quick.
Should be 12. maybe 13 seasons.
I mean, it's going to be crazy low.
It's way lower than
but,
these
I mean,
guys. And
also
he was a superstar.
A billionaire now?
Should be 12 seasons.
Yeah,
maybe
something around
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
I'll say 40 million.
26 million.
39.3.
Let's go.
To contrast that,
Magic.
Otto Porter, 138.
I'm sure, by the way.
And, well,
I know it's a different time. I know. I
mean, we need to talk how money works. I mean, we're fine.
I understand. Don't at me. That's Magic Johnson, dude.
Also, with all due respect to Magic, he cannot hold a candle to Otto Porter. Porter's just a better player.
What do you mean he can't hold a candle to Otto Porter? What do you mean?
Basketball skill?
Oh. I was just saying, is Otto Porter's out of the arena because he's injured? Is that why he can't hold a candle to him? He's holding up a candle going, where's Otto Porter?
I would be so angry if I was a player from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Just watching any sport that I played in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Doesn't matter. Good job, Toby.
Topes.
Good
Appreciate
research.
Good
you ready for the cannonball contest?
I am.
He's wearing a towel right now. He's in a bathing suit.
Cannonball
ready
coming.
To go. Are you confident?
I'm semi-confident. I grew up with a pool, so okay. I'm semi-confident I'll be able to get things done.
Attaboy.
I'm out of shape, though, so.
I don't think that's going
to
hurt.
I don't know if it helps or hurts.
Helps.
Does it hurt the ability to jump high,
yes.
but also help the ability to have more mass?
Artistry is about your soul. The splash is about volume.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? That's going to help.
I got it.
Yep.
I think Toby might be the favorite on the board.
He's going to lean in.
The FanDuel board. He had a pool at home.
Yeah.
You might be a minus 120, minus 125 favorite for this thing. No pressure. Grant and Danny on the Fan 610. Coming up in 25 minutes, live on this show, the first ever Cannonball Challenge as we're poolside in West Palm Beach. G&D with you from Nats Camp on the Fan. Joey Gallo in 15 minutes. Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back. Top of the hour, Joey Gallo joins the show. Big addition financially for the Nats. In an offseason where you don't spend, a $5 million transaction for a former All-Star takes the cake as the splash move. I hope he hits some splash balls, though, on the West Coast, playing San Francisco and some upper-deck home runs at Nats Park. He's got that Schwarber, Adam Dunn kind of profile. It's going to be a million strikeouts. He does actually draw some walks, but it's big-time power, no wall scrapers. He pulls the ball, and he hits missiles. In fact, he's one of the few guys in the sport. Danny, you've seen teams implement weird, I would call them formations, but alignments against him.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, you'll just bring an extra, forget the shift, which you can't do anymore, like, take an outfielder and move them over into, like, shallow areas like you're playing
that
softball.
That softball spot, yeah. I mean,
because he just doesn't go the other way, and he's going to hit the ball in the air probably.
Because it's a waste of his time to basically to give up what he's doing well. In other words, like, he could flare one that way, but you're sacrificing however many chances to have one of the outcomes. I mean, he's the ultimate kind of modern-day player. I mean, you look at some of these numbers he's put up, hitting 160 with 13 homers in 50-some games with the Yankees and things like that. He's going to drive people nuts who have kind of come up in the old school, but I'm telling you, there's value in this dude. He's led the league in walks at one point not that long ago. I think it was 2021 when he did that. So he'll get on base a decent clip. And you're right, the power is light tower style.
What a day for NFL news. We knew it was going to be the case. We're closing in on the start of the league year, and today's the day where teams have to determine if they're placing the franchise tag on their pending free agents or not. But among some of the notable moves, the Seahawks have released Jamal Adams. His stay there did not go the way he had anticipated. He's basically become a pass rusher at safety when he's
yeah.
healthy. Coming downhill, he gets as the quarterback. Call him whatever position you want, but he rushes the QB. Doesn't really do much else at a high level, but that's going to be a big name on the market available if you're looking for someone who you can kind of design part of your scheme around.
See, yeah, I was going to say, so he'll fit somebody's idea, right? Though, you know, this is a very Ravens kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying he'll go there, but you know what I mean, where they go, everyone's looking at what you can't do as a strong safety. We don't want you in space. We don't want you covering too many guys, but you can come downhill at the quarterback, as you said. He had a 9.5 sack season a couple of years ago in the pandemic year, 2020. So, yeah, someone will find something for him to do.
Michael Pittman Jr., who caught 109 balls this year.
Stud.
For 1,150 yards with Indianapolis, a volume receiver, a lot of targets and catches. Big guy, 6'4", 225, one of my favorite underrated players in the league, 26 years old. He got the franchise tag to avoid free agency. He'll be staying in Indianapolis with the Colts. Speaking of staying put, one of the better tight ends available on the market, Dalton Schultz, getting a three-year contract from the Houston Texans. For Schultz, he's getting $12 million per year. He was actually a name that I think would have made some sense for Washington. Post Logan Thomas now, their tight end room basically goes through John Bates and Cole Turner. They're going to need a starter who can catch passes, probably going to need help from a blocking standpoint as well. I'll bet you they add two tight ends who make the 53 between now and the start of the year.
I would tend to agree with you. And Schultz, you know, last year's a guy I screamed for. Right, coming off a nice time in Dallas, just as a pass catcher, somebody that's kind of doing that first, presents some mismatch problems, but got himself paid, did a one-year bet on yourself deal, and worked out for him.
Ravens used their franchise tag on their sacks leader, Justin Matabuke, who had an awesome season for them, double-digit sacks as a defensive tackle. Jaguars used the franchise tag on their top pass rusher, Josh Allen, as well. So it was a busy day on the tag front. The Commanders, we knew, we're not going to use their franchise tag on Cameron Curl. But for what it's worth, and for me, not a whole lot because I don't do emoji news, but he did tweet out a peace sign today. We found out as well, probably not coincidentally, on the same day, that the safety market is not what we thought it was going to be. Kyle Duggar got the transition tag from the Patriots and is projected to make around $13 million a year. Curl's obviously looking for more than that and is a very similar player in terms of the market at safety going into the offseason.
So it's going to be interesting, right? Because I don't know how many people are going to want to break the bank at safeties that aren't doing the Troy Polamalu Act, right, where you're responsible for all the forced fumbles and the interceptions and the turnovers and the like. Again, Cam Curl, really solid, good football player. Not saying anything to the contrary. If there were more splash plays, whether that's his fault or not, I think this would be going differently.
About an hour ago, I saw this one. Adam Schefter releasing the Chargers have cut Eric Kendricks. I love him. Former Maryland Terpin. He a Terp. Played for the Vikings for years. Great leader. Good locker room guy. Back-to-back off seasons, though, where he's been a cap casualty. Kind of that time of your career where all of a sudden some injuries are catching up to you a little bit, and he got cut today. So you're starting to see teams make some space, create cap, so that when the league year begins less than a week from now, they can start moving and shaking. Washington, of course, is going to have as much money as anybody else to spend leading up to free agency and eventually the number two pick in the draft. You'll hear from Joey Gallo next from West Palm Beach. We've also got one other item to get to today before we end this here show.
Support
from spring training at our Airbnb poolside. The first ever cannonball collision between Ryan, Darris, and Toby. Who will be the Grant and Danny Show cannonball champion? We find out at 6:10 right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan, our coverage from out here at West Palm Beach. Nats spring training coming your way today and this week. Presented by Main Street Bank, your local bank local. Put their team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. The show, as always, thanks to our friends, the law firm of Condori and Murrah. They're the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will, and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys and visit kmlawyers.com. Just mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Got about 20 minutes left and a lot to do. We're going to have a cannonball challenge, the first ever competition, to see who can do the best cannonball. Right here on Grant and Danny, that's about 8 minutes away. But first, we wanted to talk to Joey Gallo. Signed the big one-year, $5 million deal, deferred over 3 years somehow. Make that make sense. With the Washington Nationals this offseason, the big power bat came on our show several weeks back. He was awesome. He had just signed. He was really excited. Then we found him in the clubhouse down here in West Palm to catch up and see how things were going early in camp.
Yeah, no, camp's been great. You know, it's been a great clubhouse and a great environment, and the coaches are awesome. So it's been a great experience for me, and you know, I couldn't be happier, like, where I'm at with you know, this is a young group of guys, but it's a fun, energetic group that really strives to be better every day. So it's been a fun camp.
How do you treat spring training now? You've been around a little bit. You know, is it, how much of a tune-up is it? How much is it getting locked in? How much is it trying to, you know, hit light towers? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, well, for me now, I just, you know, obviously you want to get out of it healthy. That's the main thing. But then also, you know, I'm not really worried about hits or hitting light tower or home runs or whatever. At the end of the day, they don't really count here. So it's, you know, it's about, for me, just getting your body back into baseball shape. And, you know, the biggest thing is when you're on a new team is meeting your new teammates, building a relationship with those guys, figuring out everybody's friggin' name. You know, I mean, there's 100 people walking around. I probably know 30 by heart now. So that's the main things. And, you know, spring training is fun. And it's a lot more loose and a lot more fan-friendly, which is always fun.
What kind of stuff do you do to kind of get to know guys? Is it like you're picking up tabs for dinner? Or are you doing putt outings? Like, what sort of stuff do you do?
Yeah, we'll do some stuff like that. We went to watch some of the college basketball games with some of the guys a couple days ago. We can kind of just explore the city. And Palm Beach is great because there's a beach, you know. So it's a lot more fun. You can kind of, there's a lot more things you can do. And top golf events, stuff like that. You know, guys like Vargas, he makes stupid quotes like this. So I made him a little poster for him, which, you know. He's, you know, it actually kind of makes sense, but today's
a sign for people that don't know. Yeah, today is today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. Ildemar Vargas.
It's the most basic, you know, Latin guy quote you'll ever hear in English. So it's just, you know, fun things like that, and just getting to know your guys. So I think that's the enjoyable part about being on a new team and being in spring training is getting to meet all these guys.
From what we've seen, it seems like you've exclusively pretty much worked at first. Is this the first time you've gotten that much, like, unbroken up run at that position?
Yeah, I guess so. I think it seems like, you know, I think for me, it's, I can play outfield whenever I need to, really. So, you know, being able to just work at first and build relationships with the infielders and kind of get that feel is more important than running around the outfield catching fly balls. You know, that's kind of something I can feel like I can do, you know, whenever I really need to. I do work out there as well, just kind of shagging and whatnot, but, you know, working at first is most important right now, most vital, just to learn the infield and learn all the guys around you.
You've had a great career and been in a lot of really good clubhouses.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating clubhouse, and we've been coming for years and years, but there's really, maybe because of the lack of veterans and guys that are, you know, been around a long time, everybody's like, seems happy to be here and just like, you know, it's a nice group of young dudes. Like, but you were in a clubhouse with like probably 10 all-stars at one point too. So like, just that juxtaposition, what's that like?
Yeah, you know, it is different. Like I said, when you have a young group of guys, it's a lot more energetic, a lot more, I don't know, sometimes fun. And I think when there's a lot of veterans around, you know, you know what's ahead, and it's you know, the guys are a little more aware of what the season's going to be like and how stressful it can be and whatnot. So, you know, when you got a young group of guys, it's kind of fun and. You know, it's just like 22, 23 year olds running around just like trying to play baseball. And it's like, that's the most enjoyable.
It just seems like a dude hang.
Yeah, and that's the most, like, that's just really what it is. It's really fun to come into the clubhouse every day, and it's not always like that. So with this group, it's like coming to the field, I'm like actually like excited to come in because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be fun, and we're going to be, you know, having a good time, and we're going to be doing what we need to do, but it's going to be an enjoyable day and not just a stressful filled day of trying to perform.
Leadership-wise, is that something that you kind of want to take on? I mean, is it to the point where you're going, that's not how this all-star did it, or is it just lead by example? Like, obviously, you got to stay within your personality, but how do you take on that role?
Yeah, so I think every generation is different. You know, the way I came up as a rookie, we got treated a little bit different than the rookies do now, per se. And that's I want to treat the young guys with respect and with love, because it's those guys, you know, they're coming out here and they're trying to live out their dream as well, and you don't want to, you know, make a guy feel belittled or whatever because he doesn't have enough service time or something like that. You know, these guys are all, everybody's on the same team together, we're all pushing for the same goal. So for me, I think the most important thing is really to enjoy it and have fun. You know, obviously winning and developing's huge, but if you're not enjoying it, you're not gonna win. You're not gonna develop. So I think, like I said, I want to bring fun to the clubhouse, but I want to bring a seriousness. But I want guys to understand, like, this is a game. We should have fun doing it, and that's something I had to learn a lot, and I forget a lot as well. So that's kind of what I want to try to implement into this clubhouse a little bit. And it seems like they already had a good, like, grasp on it, but I feel like that's a big role for me.
Last thing, I'm imagining when you air it out in BP and you put on your show, like, James can probably do some pretty big things. Are there other guys that would have a sneaky BP that would be like, really, he can keep up in that way in terms of power and just a BP display?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my BP display isn't as cool as it used to be, definitely. I actually hit a home run, like, the wind's kind of blowing on our back, so it kind of helps out. We can almost hit it over this big net, you know, like, why people are like, wow. I'm like, man, you should see how I used to hit them in BP, you know, like, when I was 21, I could just air it out whenever I wanted to,
yeah.
Like, but, you know who actually, Lane Thomas launches balls in BP. He's got, surprisingly, you know, because he's not like a huge guy, but he's got a lot of pop and a strong swing. So in BP, he's in our group, and he shows us up a little bit. So that's it's always not fun. We might have to get him out of our group and get him into group two or something. But yeah, he can hit some bombs.
Appreciate the time, man.
Cool.
There's Joey Gallo. It was good catching up with him. He's a really cool guy.
He's a mensch. Nicest dude ever. And he gets it, man. I love his comment about, it's a bunch of 22, 23-year-old kids running around trying to play baseball. You're like, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Speaking of kids having fun.
Here we go.
The boys are in West Palm Beach. We are broadcasting live next to a pool at an Airbnb.
Yep, all
Why
true.
Not use that pool for a little radio fun? It is time for the first ever Grant and Danny Cannonball Challenge. We've got three participants. There will be a gold, silver, and bronze given out. Whoever gets last gets nothing. Whoever gets second place, rather than a silver medal, will get $1.
$1.
Mm. Yeah. Whoever wins will get $3,
here
ladies and gentlemen. $3 on the line here. First jumper, first cannonballer, Ryan Clary. You know him as Ryan Clary. You know him as Mr. Cannonball.
Mr. Cannonball.
So first of all, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Trip's good so far?
Trip's been great. I love it.
Nervous? Do you have a plan?
No, because I was on the dive team growing up, and actually, one of my dives that I used to perfect back in the day was the cannonball.
Oh.
So I think...
What was the degree of difficulty to multiply your score on cannonball?
Well, it was just, I was really good. Just trust me.
Okay.
By the way, did we know this when we set the odds that Toby is the favorite to win?
Yes, we talked about that. But we didn't
know Ryan was on the dive team.
Yeah, but keep in mind, he also lost about 214 pounds.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? So, like,
numbers approximate.
The cannonball is not for Mr. 106 over here.
So this is like a dunk contest, for the record.
Yep.
We'll go first. We only have about 8 minutes. We got to make it move here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But first round, two people move forward, and then a finals.
Yep.
So you can strategize if you want to. Do I keep my – Darius goes, oh, well then. So you can keep your best jump for second.
I wouldn't save anything.
But you got to get there first.
I got to get there first.
All right, so give us a quick little thought on what you plan on doing, and then head on over to the pool.
Well, I plan on winning.
Good enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brian Clare.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Brian Clare.
All right, so, Bobby, how do you feel? Bobby Blanco of MassinSports.com is joining us here live as our third judge. Now, Danny, please let Bobby know how we're scoring this, how we're grading this.
This is based on technique in general. That is, again, up to you. Artistry, which is a huge one. That's, again, up to the eye of the beholder. And then splash.
Okay.
We want a big, effective, wide splash. We want that thump, that bass, that big sound that goes with a good cannonball.
The three fundamentals of cannonballs.
The three fundamentals of cannonballing, yeah.
Without further ado, Ryan, on your ready. Ryan, shirt off, very sunburned, arms at his side, high jump. Wow, good cannonball.
That was a really
very
good cannonball.
Very good cannonball. I will say, not a tall splash.
No.
But it was one of those splashes where the waves kind
good
of
wake.
Sent ripple effects across the entire pool.
A good wake for us there. So he didn't do a step up beforehand. He didn't get a running start. He just broad jumped his way up there. Good technique to bring his knees to his chest.
Yeah.
Not fall forward. The danger in cannonballing where you lose some of the splash. He got back. He got vertical. Butt hit first. Good resounding splash.
So your three scores then?
So for artistry, to me, that was a little bit low. Out of 10 here, I'm looking at 6.5.
I'm giving him a 6 for artistry.
I'm going 5.
Wow.
It was a pretty basic.
Okay, we'll take the mean score of a 6.
Splash, 6.5.
Splash, I'm going to say, was a 5.5.
Splash looked good. It wasn't
big, but it looked good. I'll give you a little bit closer to a 7.
Danny's heard that before. All right, so 6.5.
I just got taste.
A little shrapnel.
Oh, man.
So that's 6.5,
and
I believe.
And then technique to me, excellent technique, 8.5 on the technique.
Technique, I'm giving him a 9.
Yeah, I'm going 9-2.
I thought
9-2.
It was actually really good.
9-2. Yeah, technique was perfect.
So 9 plus 6.5 is 15.5. This is very formal, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've already forgot your score. And then what was the first one? We said 6?
6.
So 21.5.
21.5.
Ryan Clary, ladies and half, Ryan gentlemen. Clary. Ryan Clary. Toby Altizer is next. You know him from his work on Bustin' Loose Baseball, the very special award-winning Nats podcast, which is available now wherever you get your audio. Hello, Tobert.
What's going on?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
You were the only guy I saw, like, going through the motions of taking the steps.
I have not jumped in a while.
He looked at me and he goes, one thing I'm worried about is these pants are a bit restrictive.
Uh-huh.
You're so
restrictive.
That is an issue.
A bit restrictive.
Restrictive.
We'll see if we get the knees up. That now, might not be the shorts' fault, though.
There was also a rumor you may keep the shirt on.
I'm going to keep the shirt on.
No aerodynamic issue there?
As a religious guy, I can do all things. I think that's going to allow me to beat my competition.
Wow.
Wow.
He is not only keeping the shirt on.
He's quoting scripture.
The shirt says, I can do all things.
He got the Heavenly Father involved. That's an interesting technique.
I've always thought,
man,
you know, God's got nothing better to do than determine.
Yes.
This
is
here.
Hold on. Is he going to do a cannonball?
Any guarantees or you're going in quietly?
I'm confident in my ability.
All right. Toby Altizer.
Here we go, Tobias.
Here we go.
And here's Toby.
Toby's walking over to the pool.
Approaching the edge.
Go ahead and
pool.
Just hold that mic.
Hold that out there,
so
Darius.
Some audio.
And Darius, could you step to your left while you do that for me? Your other left. Thank you so much.
All right. Toby is stepping back about 2 steps. A little running start. Wow!
Whoa.
Toby! Yes! That was a splash! Oh, man! Ryan is in trouble!
Oh, dude!
Ryan is in trouble!
Now, what he lacked in verticality,
yes,
which he did lack in verticality.
I will say, when he initially jumped, I thought, I'm not sure if he's going to make it.
Is he going up? The displacement of that water.
Yes.
Because that took his hit first.
Bobby,
outstanding.
Start with Splash. You're great.
Splash was great. Splash was fantastic. I'll go 8 on Splash.
I'm going 9.5.
Splash was a solid 8 for me, so average that out.
I think we take the mean.
Okay,
8.5. All right, what are the other categories?
Artistry.
Yeah,
artistry here. Deduction for me to keeping the shirt on. I don't like that.
Okay, mm-hmm.
when we're
I'm giving
scores.
Him credit because he trolled them with Bible scripture.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Artistry, I love the concentration on his face. I thought it was beautiful. That's a 7 even for me on artistry.
8
7
for me.
I'll give him credit for the fancy bathing suit. He guys got a very colorful bathing suit on for artistry, mm-hmm. So I'll give him 7.5.
7.5. So we'll
that's 7.5. Yeah, 7.5 plus 8.5.
Yeah, so we're at 16. 5.5 more. He beats Ryan. Okay, where are you at?
This is technique.
Technique was sound, tight, knees to the chest. I'm going 9.
8 technique for me. The one step and a hop.
Yep.
Like we're doing a ready position as an infielder. We didn't get a lot of verticality there, again, but we got out, and that was the key. That is a solid, what did I say, 7 for me. Solid 7 on technique.
An 8. 8 for me, I think. Give it an 8 overall. Is that how we're at?
So that's an 8 between the 3. Yeah. Let's average it. Carry
just making this up.
23.5, I believe.
23.5.
They already shook hands, I think.
23 and me.
Did you just make that number up or no?
No, I think he had like 15.
Good enough.
But there was
Darius, you're up next.
4 in there.
You've got to beat 21.5 to get to the finals.
Oh, yeah, right.
How do you feel about it?
Feeling good.
Who are you wearing, by the way?
You said, who am I wearing?
Yeah, who are you wearing? Who's your designer?
Let's go with Champion.
Champion. Let's go.
I had a pair of sweatpants for them in the 90s.
He's got a silly Champion, what is that?
Tank top.
Tank
it's a tanker.
Top.
Yep.
Staying on?
It's staying on, yes. I will not give the internet fodder today.
That's how
they won't.
What about the Speedo bit? You know, with the big Speedo thing coming up for losing the challenge?
They can wait till that day to get their, troll fodder.
Okay,
believe
Darius.
That. Very well.
Well, are you ready to go?
Yeah, shout out to the Allentown Road Water Park. That's where I trained and learned how to swim. So
let's go.
Let's put those lessons
together. Representing for all the folks in Allentown at the water park.
The water park.
Our guy.
Yeah, grab it, Ryan.
He's jumping into water. I hope
the
he
water.
Doesn't get hurt. You know, you start
the
a
James
fire.
Water.
Right. Start a fire with water.
All right, get that you out there. That. Sorry, I'm going to slide to the side.
So Darius is going actually further
here.
Away from us.
Yep.
He's taking a deep breath. His hands are clasped.
You can tell this is a plunge that he's not thrilled to make.
He is jumping. Slow delivery. Wow.
There it is. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. That's it.
That was
That's it. That's it.
That just deserved them.
That's the splash.
I'm not even tabulating. We have a final matchup.
That's the splash.
With all due respect, Ryan, it's Terrace versus Toby, and Toby is a massive underdog.
That's the splash.
Oh, my God. Into the final.
Now, I'm going to tell you, when Darius approached the water, I wasn't sure. I don't think he was either. But when those knees hit that chest and that ass hit first, you heard the boom. That is the splash,
That's
boys.
That's the sound you want to hear, too.
Yes. The splash went higher than the GD roof.
That's
how you win. That's how you debate.
That's absolutely the way this works. All right, Toby, you got to get after it because we got about 90 seconds to go here. So, Darius, it's a quick recovery for you. Toby, go ahead and jump on in when you're ready for the finals. Dueling banjos here. Good job, big splash. First time we've gotten wet.
Uh-oh.
Yep, I got
There's
it.
Actually now a bunch of water here. We're
going to
get trouble.
Yeah, so let's be super careful.
All of a sudden, I'm now worried about the Airbnb.
I've got a little concern. There's just water on my shoes now. Yeah. That is
Actually, Rhino, grab a broom and start sweeping this away from the house.
In all sincerity, this is what we like to call an issue.
Yeah, this is called the Airbnb. My name's on this Airbnb. Yeah. That's the problem. Darius, go ahead.
Go, buddy.
Finals. For the win, Darius Dameron.
Oh,
it
I don't
is
know.
Over.
I don't know.
It is over. For the final verdict, we will announce at the beginning of tomorrow's show. We will tabulate. Grant and Danny saying so long from West Palm Beach.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.